when the men left to go into Jerusalem. What a contrast. Think about it. This event happens prior to what we would call Palm Sunday. Sounds quite a bit of a, we might use the word rigmarole, right? What a ritual to go through, to be called cleansed. You know? You have to kill one bird, let the other live, but you got to put it in the blood with the hyssop and the wood and on and on. Then you got to sit outside your house, and then you got to shave off your hair. Then you got, in 7 days, you got to shave again. Quite an ordeal, isn't it? What I find interesting is the one goes to Jesus to worship him, and the others go into Jerusalem to follow the law. Which do you think got the better deal? The law is of God. It was the commandments of God, right? But there in front of them was the very grace of God in the flesh. They had the words right. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. It's words similar to what we use in our worship service. We call it the Kyrie, right? Lord, have mercy. Oh, Christ, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It is the cry to the one who can actually cleanse us of our sins. For the nine who were healed, they went into the city, and there they would have to go through these sequences of ritual in a specific order. And I can only imagine, and it is imagination on our part, that if you were given all of these days and all of these rules to follow, and at the end of it, the pronouncement would be, you are clean, but it's really this way, you shall live. Would you do it? Because if you didn't do it, and you weren't declared clean, you die. What a thing to have to go through. I imagine it's easier than chemotherapy. I imagine it's easier than radiation therapy. Those treatments are not just 7 days. I imagine it's easier than many surgeries that we have, you know, because the recovery depends upon what the surgery was for. It takes months sometimes. And even then, maybe you won't feel whoopee. Right? But the one went to Christ the Lord, who will soon go into Jerusalem, and he will show himself to the priest, and he's going to end up rejected. And he's going to be declared unclean, guilty of blasphemy, guilty of, of course they lied, guilty of this and that. And as these nine are to offer all the right sacrifices, the lambs and the birds and so forth, Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he's going to offer himself. And his sacrifice is going to go a lot further than 7 days. And his sacrifice is going to clean a lot more than just the nine. For like John the Baptist said, this is the one, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think the one had, however, by the power of the Spirit, only by the power of the Spirit, he came back to the one who was going to enter Jerusalem on his behalf, who was going to the cross in his place, who was going to rise from the tomb for his sake, And there he went to Jesus, and he more than just bowed down, right? He prostrated himself. He threw himself face down on the ground. You know, could you imagine this sanctuary, how much room you would need if on Sunday I said, okay, everybody down. Right now with my knees, can you imagine trying to get down? And it would take us 30 minutes just to get everybody up. Right? Imagine what it would be for us to physically do what worship is really about. Imagine what it would take for us really from head to toe, inside and out, to recognize under the law we have a sentence of death. We are unclean because of our sinful nature, right? We have sinned against him by thought, word, and deed. That sounds so clean when we say it that way, right? But it's really our physical death that one day each one of us will face, unless Christ comes first, is because we have a sinful nature. Death entered the world with sin. And so this one, this Samaritan, Samaritans were outsiders. Samaritans were, I guess in the old Western days, we might call them a half-breed. They were sort of Jewish and sort of not, and that made them not real Jewish by the pure bloods, you know. But he worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave thanks for the cleansing and the healing. He recognized that in this one is the power of God that gives life and salvation. And then Jesus proceeds on his ministry to enter Jerusalem for the one and for the all, to live, to die, to rise again. Thanksgiving is a wonderful holiday to give thanks. And we could have our list. You know. Gwen went shopping the other day for our Thanksgiving meal. She runs across, we know many of the staff at the store, and she saw one of the assistant managers, and well, you know, are you ready for Thanksgiving? Yep. We're having crab legs. He thought that was a much better deal than dried turkey and burnt bread. Overcooked something. So we could get thanks that, you know, in my house at least we're going to have crab legs. I'm not telling you what time. We could get thanks for family. We could get thanks for the wellness that we have. We could get thanks for the house we live in. We could get thanks for the vehicles we drive when they run properly, you know, we can give thanks. We have this whole list, but really every day is about an opportunity to recognize we are alive in Christ and we are at the mercy of God in Christ. Because our cars and our houses and our turkeys and our crab legs, they make some things easy, but they really are not life-giving. The life giver is the one who healed, went into Jerusalem, up to a cross on Calvary, to stretch out his hands and to give himself so that we would not have to die but live. And even when we do die, we live and go to the tomb, be taken to the tomb to rise again, so that you and I would rise again. The man comes to Jesus, falls down, and when he rises, Jesus had said, why? Go, your faith has made you well. We get up from worship, and we are well because of Christ's proclamation. Faith saves. In faith you live. And in faith we rejoice. We give thanks to God for his mercy. And that mercy has endured from generation to generation, from Thanksgiving to Thanksgivings, from year to year, from household to household, and community to community. God's mercy has been poured out again and again. And some are still stuck in the ritual under the laws of trying to do it just right. You have to have turkey on Thanksgiving, otherwise it's not Thanksgiving, right? You know, there's the rules about the holiday. But those rules did not give life. It's Jesus. And so, as we look at the text, yeah, it's an awesome miracle. And these men's lives are changed physically because they're going to now be back embraced in their family, in their community. They are restored before one another. But the thing you don't see is they're restored before God. Because that illness was invisible. It wasn't the rash. It's our sin. And again, Jesus enters the Jerusalem as the Lamb of God who takes away that sin forever. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thanksgiving is about bowing before the Lord, praising God, rising anew by faith, and living for his purpose and for the sake of the kingdom. Amen.